The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is about something, guess what? Something that only happens in June. Once a year, on the third Sunday, does anyone know what that is? It's Father's Day, that's right. It's going to be Father's Day this month, as it always is, on the third Sunday. And this one is, once again, we're with the Berenstain Bears, written by Stan and Jan, and their son Mike Berenstain. So here we go. We love our dad. Sister, brother, and Honey Bear love their papa. They loved him very much. After all, he was always there for them. He baited their hooks when they went fishing. He threw them fly balls when they learned to play catch. He was their sled puller on their way to the top of Dead Bear Hill. Ooh, that sounds awful, doesn't it? Dead Bear. He carried them on his shoulders when they got tired and rushed them to the doctor when they were hurt. He told them funny stories and corny jokes. He read to them at bedtime, tucked them in, and kissed them all good night. Yes, the cubs certainly loved their papa. But sometimes they took him a bit for granted. After all, he was always there. They never even noticed some of the things he did, like working. Papa worked very hard, and he worked in his shop all day, making beautiful furniture. He worked fixing things up around the house. He worked doing chores like mowing the lawn, or shoveling snow, or taking out the trash. It's true that Papa enjoyed working, but he enjoyed getting credit for it sometimes, too. One warm spring morning, not long after Mother's Day, the cubs were talking about what they would do for Father's Day. Mama was listening to them nearby. The cubs, let's make Papa a big family album with pictures of us doing stuff with him. We just gave Mama an album like that for Mother's Day, said Brother. Oh, yeah, said Sister. Honey Bear was looking out the window, watching Papa mowing the lawn. Papa working, she said. What's that, Honey? Asked Mama. Papa working, said Honey, pointing out the window. Hmm, said Mama. Honey just had a very good idea. She did? Asked Brother and Sister. Yes, said Mama. Your Papa works very hard. It would be a nice gift if you cubs did his jobs for him on Father's Day and let him relax. Now that they thought about it, it was true. Papa did work all the time, and he could use a rest. Let's go, Honey Bear, said Sister and Brother, giving her high fives. The cubs decided to make certificates, gift certificates, that Papa could cash in for their jobs that they would do. All day they followed him around, spying on him. They checked off the jobs he did on a clipboard. Carrying wood, said Sister. Carrying wood, check, said Brother. Check, said Honey. Painting the garage, said Sister. Painting the garage, check, said Brother. Check, said Honey. Replacing a loose tree bark on our treehouse, said Sister. Replacing loose tree bark. Check, said Brother. Check, said Honey. Whoops, it's hard to turn that page. The cubs followed Papa the next day, too. They didn't put furniture making on their list because they did not know how to make furniture. But they did check off things like trimming the rose bushes, putting up fence rails, and cleaning out the basement. That evening, they made a certificate for each job. There was one for wash the car, one for help plant the grass, one for clean the workshop, one another for mow the lawn, another one for take out the trash, and another one for help clean out the attic. And then there's one I can't see because it's mostly behind all the others, but they made a lot of gift certificates for him. Some of the jobs were hard, too, and Papa would have to help them with it, unfortunately. On Father's Day, the Cubs woke up bright and early. They waited until nearly 6 a.m. before running into Mama and Papa's room and jumping on the bed. "Happy Father's Day, Papa," they yelled. "Huh? What?" said Papa sleepily. "It's Father's Day." "Of course he is," said the Cubs. "Open your present." They gave him a big envelope. Papa thought it was a card. "Why, thank you," he said. But when he opened it, the gift certificate spilled out. "What's this?" he asked. "They're gift certificates for you to cash in for us to do your jobs," explained Brother. "You can just relax all day." "What a thoughtful gift," said Papa. "It was Honey's idea," said Sister. "Thank you, Honey," said Papa, giving all of his thoughtful cubs a big hug. "I think I'd like to spend the day just watching baseball," said Papa. "It's Father's Day," said Mama. "You can do whatever you like." "Wow," said Papa, settling down in his easy chair in front of the TV. "I could get used to this." Papa cashed in his gift certificates, and the Cubs set to work. Their first job was washing the car. They got out buckets, soap, cloths, and the cloths, and the garden hose. They scrubbed and washed and rinsed. But the car still seemed a little dirty. "Papa," they yelled, "we're having trouble. Can you help us?" "Of course," he said, looking things over. "You just need more elbow grease, and I'll show you." So Papa and the Cubs scrubbed and washed and rinsed together. When they were done, the car was bright and shiny. "You go and relax now, Papa," said the Cubs. "We'll do the rest." The next job was cleaning up the wood chips in Papa's shop. The Cubs got out dustpans and brooms and the shop vacuum and set to work. They swept and cleaned and vacuumed. But the shop still looked a little dirty. "Papa," they called, "we're having trouble. Can you help us?" "Of course," he said, looking things over. "You just need to give it more oomph." So Papa and the Cubs swept and cleaned and vacuumed together. When they were done, the shop was spick and span. "You go and relax now, Papa," said the Cubs. "We'll do the rest." The Cubs got out rakes and bags of seed. Brother raked the hard-packed earth while Sister and Honey spread the seeds. But they soon got tired. There's still a lot of bare spots left. "Papa," they called, "we're having trouble. Can you come and help us, please?" "Of course," he said, looking things over. "You just need more muscle power, and I'll show you." So Papa and the Cubs raked and spread the seeds. When they were done, every bare spot on the lawn was covered with new seed. "You go now and relax, Papa," said the Cubs. "We'll do the rest." But Papa shook his head. "Actually," he said, "I'm getting bored just watching TV. It's more fun doing things with you. What shall we do next?" "How about a game of baseball?" said Brother. "Perfect," said Papa. So the whole family played ball. Brother and Sister and Honey took turns pitching, batting, and fielding. Papa was catcher, and Mama was the ump. A wonderful Father's Day was had by all. At bedtime, the Cubs took turns jumping off their beds into a big cushion. "It isn't fair," said Brother, as Papa helped him into his pajamas. "There was a Mother's Day, and a Father's Day. Why isn't there a Cubs Day?" Papa smiled at Mama Bear. "I haven't the faintest idea," he said. And you know what he said? Anyway, then he finished up. Papa and Mama tucked the cubs in and turned out the light. "Did you have a good Father's Day, Papa?" asked Sister. "Yes, sweetie," said Papa, kissing her, brother, and Honey good night. The best Father's Day ever. And then all his cubs are going to sleep, and Mama is taking Honey to her own crib. And I think Papa really enjoyed his relaxation day, helping his kids do the chores. So that's the end of that story. Have you decided yet what you're going to do for your father for Father's Day? Our next story is The Paper Bag Princess by Robert Munsch. Elizabeth was a beautiful princess. She lived in a castle and had expensive princess clothes. She was going to marry a prince named Ronald. Unfortunately, a dragon smashed her castle, burned all her clothes with his fiery breath, and carried off Prince Ronald. Yikes! Elizabeth decided to chase the dragon and get Ronald back. She looked everywhere for something to wear. The only thing that she could find was not burnt, was a paper bag. Somehow it had not burnt up in the fire. So she put on the paper bag like a dress, cut a hole for arms and for her head, and followed the dragon. He was easy to follow because he left a trail of burnt forests and horses' bones. There's Princess Elizabeth looking really angry. Finally, Elizabeth came to a cave with a large door that had a huge knocker on it. She took hold of the knocker and banged on the door and said, The dragon stuck his nose out of the door and said, "Well, a princess. I love to eat princesses, but I have already eaten a whole castle today. I'm a very busy dragon. Come back tomorrow." I think he just wanted a nap after eating a whole castle. He slammed the door so fast that Elizabeth almost got her nose caught in the door. Yikes! Elizabeth grabbed the knocker and banged on the door again. The dragon stuck his nose out of the door and said, "Go away. I love to eat princesses, but I have already eaten a whole castle today. I am a very busy dragon. Come back tomorrow." "Wait," shouted Elizabeth. "Is it true that you are the smartest and fiercest dragon in the whole world?" "Why, yes," said the dragon. "Is it true," asked Elizabeth, "that you can burn up 10 forests with your fiery breath?" "Well, yes," said the dragon, and he took a huge deep breath and breathed out so much fire that he burned up 50 forests all at once. "Fantastic," said Elizabeth, and the dragon took another huge breath and breathed out so that he burnt up 100 forests. "Magnificent," said Elizabeth, and the dragon took another huge breath, but this time nothing came out. The dragon did not even have enough fire left to cook a meatball. Oh my goodness. Elizabeth said, "Dragon, is it true that you can fly around the world in just 10 seconds? "Why, yes," said the dragon, and jumped up and flew all the way around the world in just 10 seconds. He was very tired when he got back, but Elizabeth shouted, "Fantastic, do it again." So the dragon jumped up, flew around the whole world in just 20 seconds. When he got back, he was too tired to talk, and he lay down and went straight to sleep. Elizabeth whispered very softly, "Hey, dragon." The dragon did not move at all. She lifted up the dragon's ear and put her head right inside. She shouted as loud as she could, "Hey, dragon." The dragon was so tired that he did not even move. And then she looks up and sees a window in the cave, and there is Prince Ronald looking out between the bars. He can't escape. Elizabeth walked right over to the dragon and opened the door to the cave. There was Prince Ronald. He looked at her and said, "Elizabeth, you are a mess. You smell like ashes, your hair is all tangled, and you are wearing a dirty old paper bag. Come back to me when you are dressed like a real princess." And what do you think Elizabeth did? "Ronald," said Elizabeth, "your clothes are really pretty and your hair is very neat. You look like a real prince, but you are a bum." And they did not get married at all. And that's the end of that story. Princess Elizabeth knew that clothes did not make the person important or good. You could wear whatever you want and still be not such a nice person. Ronald was a bit snotty and a bit stuck up, and he was judgmental, especially of this princess he was supposed to marry. So Elizabeth decided he wasn't worth her time. And that's the end of Paper Bag Princess. This story is called Buford Bear and the Bad News Blues. Big wet ball of water fell through the air. It landed in Buford Bear's bowler hat, along with the other tears that had dripped from his sad eyes. Buford sat outside his den and sighed. "Oh me, oh my, I am so sad. I wish I felt glad instead of so bad." Another tear fell with a splish and a splash. Suddenly there was a bigger splash, and Buford was surprised to find a nut floating in his bowler hat. He looked up into the trees just in time to see Cheryl's squirrel bouncing from limb to limb. "Sorry about that," said Cheryl. "Am I bothering you?" She bounded down from the one branch to the next, and then jumped the last 3 feet to the ground. "What's wrong, Buford Bear?" The grass behind Buford rustled, and a pair of pink ears belonging to Hip Hop Bunny were soon followed by the rabbit's worried face. "Yeah," he said, "I heard you sniffling and snuffling." "Why the tears, big buddy?" With a sniffle and a snuffle, two more tears for good measure, Buford moaned. "Oh, woe is me, I'm just so sad. I wish I felt glad, but I feel so bad." Cheryl the squirrel and Hip Hop Bunny looked at each other with surprise, and then they turned towards their friend. "What's there to be sad about?" asked Cheryl. "It's a pretty day. Look at all the grass and the flowers to eat and the butterflies to chase and the hollow logs to crawl through." "Well, I don't care about those things," said Buford, with more sniffles than ever before. "Anyway, the last time I tried to crawl through a hollow log, I got stuck." Before Hip Hop could laugh at the idea of Buford stuck inside a log, Buford bought him a mournful look. "And it's not funny, Bunny. Nothing's funny anymore." "Buford," said Cheryl, let us help you. You've got a bad case of the blues, and you need to talk to your friends. What is your problem exactly?" Buford said sadly, "Everything has gone wrong lately, and today doesn't look any brighter. No one understands. Maybe I'll feel this way forever and ever." And Buford dumped out the tears from his soggy hat and plopped it on his head. "And don't you even want to try to cheer up?" "And don't even try to cheer me up," he added. "It won't help." "Don't you want to talk?" asked Hip Hop. "I've been talking to somebody about my troubles," said the big bear. "Who?" asked Cheryl. "Me, that's who," said Buford. "That's just the problem," said Hip Hop Bunny. "It's like one sad person talking to another sad person. It just makes you feel worse. Try talking to us now, okay?" It's always better to talk to someone when you're feeling this bad. "Okay," said Buford with a very deep sigh. "It all started a few days ago when I was on my way to the path. I passed Elkwood Elk and Bruce Muth along the path, but they just ignored me. And Oscar and Oliver Otter just ran the other way when they saw me coming. I try to be friendly, but other animals think they must. I think the other animals must not like me very much. Anyway, after that, I decided to go on home to my den. Buford, we're your friends, said Shirley. We think you're great, and the other woodland animals do too. They probably just didn't see you. Well, it just doesn't feel right that way to me right now. So what did you do next? Asked Hip Hop. Buford sighed, remembering. The next day it rained and rained, so I stayed inside my den all day long. Did you tell anyone else you were sad? Did you ask anyone to come over for a visit? Asked Cheryl. No, said Buford. You mean you just moped around your dark, crowded, smelly den? Well, maybe it's not the most cheerful place in the forest, but it's my home, said Buford, with only a little hurt pride. No, I didn't tell anyone my troubles, and I felt sadder and sadder until to think that that I was all alone. Then the really bad thing happened. Poor Buford. He looked so sad in his cave. Tears started to overflow from Buford's eyes again as he remembered. The very next day I felt a little better, so I decided to go across the woods to see my very best bear friend, Beulah Bear. When I got to her den, an old owl told me she had moved away to the other side of the mountain. I don't think I'll ever see her again. Hip Hop's face fell. You know, my best bunny friend, Red Rabbit, moved away last summer. I walked around with a sad face for the longest time. I didn't feel like doing much either. You mean it's normal to feel sad when you lose a friend? Asked Buford. Sure it's normal, said Hip Hop, giving the bear a pat on his big brown paw. Oh, my Buford Bear, said Cheryl, wringing out her tail, which was now wet with the bear's big tears. You do have a bad case of the blues. No wonder. Just wait, said Buford. It gets worse. After I found out about Beulah, I felt so low, I decided to visit my favorite blueberry patch. Nothing cheers me up like a mouthful of wild blueberries. So I hiked back across the roads to my secret spot. And it was gone. I guess the lightning from the storm a few days ago hit a nearby tree. The fire from the tree also burned up all my berry patch. There it is, looking sad and browned out and crispy, and blueberries were fried to a crisp, and the tree was dead. Buford sighed a deep sigh and rested his head in his hands. This has not been my week, he said. When I think about those lost blueberries, I get even sadder than ever before. It was such a good blueberry patch. Everyone is sad when they lose something that was important to them, said Cheryl gently. I lost my nest and half a tree full of nuts when lightning hit my last home. Sure, I was glad to get out safely, but I cried and cried about all my nice things and the hard work gone up in smoke. Losing things can be very hard, but it got better in time. So time can help? That's good to know, said Buford, and talking with you has made me feel better. What else can I do? I know, said Cheryl. Let's all think about what we can do to help get rid of Buford's blues. You too, Bear, now that you've stopped crying, you can help make a plan. The animals decide to think about their ideas in private. Cheryl whisked to the top of the tallest tree around, and munched on a pine cone while she thought. I've got it, she said finally. Hip Hop burrowed into the grass, nibbling on some sweet clover nearby. That's it, he shouted after a while. Buford stretched out in the warm sun, chewing on the honeycomb he had saved for a special day. As he relaxed, he felt some of his sadness drained away because he had because he had so many good friends. Suddenly he sat straight up and saying, "Yes, yes, yes, just the thing for my bad news blues." At the same time, the three animals met together by Buford's den. "Listen to this," said Buford with excitement. "Why don't you two come hunting with me? Together, we'll find a new berry patch and share what we have with everybody." "It will be a party, a very berry blueberry party," said Cheryl, her tail twitching at the thought. "That's just what I was thinking of." "Hey, you guys," said Hip Hop. "You stole my idea, and it is a good one, isn't it? Blueberries beat the blues." "Say, why don't you ride up here with me?" invited Buford. So the three friends set off together, and there was Shirley the squirrel sitting on his head between his two ears, and there was the bunny holding on to his back, riding on his back, and there they all went to find a new blueberry patch. Just then, a butterfly landed squarely on Buford Bear's nose. His friends laughed out loud at the sight, and Buford suddenly found himself doing something he hadn't done for days. He smiled. And that just goes to show, it always helps to share your troubles with your friends, and you will find talking to them and working out your problems will make you feel better almost, probably most of the time, if not always. That's the end of Buford Bear's Blues.